Well, it's December 23rd. The year is 2010. It's the eve of Christmas Eve. My family and I are living in the city of Milwaukee. It's late at night. Marco and the kids have all gone to bed, and I am up sitting by the fire in the living room and looking at the Christmas tree and thinking about the gift of Jesus and the true meaning of Christmas. And I start to wonder to myself if it's really enough. Really, deep down, at the bottom of it, is it really enough? And the question starts to bother me. Here I am, a pastor, and I'm not sure if Jesus is enough for me. I'm not sure if the gift of Jesus is enough to make me satisfied and happy, or if the reality is my happiness is dependent on all the other things that I have in life. And so I grabbed my computer and I wrote a letter to God trying to explain to him what I was feeling. And I had totally and completely forgotten about that letter until yesterday, as I was going through some of my old files on my computer, and I stumbled across it. And I read through it, and it seemed far better than what I had intended to say to you today. And shorter. And so I thought what I'll do this morning by way of a Christmas meditation is to read the letter that I wrote to God on the eve of Christmas Eve as I wrestled with my faith by a Christmas tree. Dear Lord, thank you for the gift of your Son and the salvation that he brought to the world. I am painfully aware that I sinned myself right out of your presence. Like a little child that throws a tantrum when he doesn't get to be in charge, I rebelled against your authority in the universe and I insisted on setting myself up as king of my own life. I'm a terrible king, and I made an absolute mess of my life. And you could have left me in that pathetic, rebellious condition with my fists clenched and raised against you for all of eternity, but you didn't do that. You sent your Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to atone for my law-breaking so that I could become your eternally redeemed child. I'll never fully understand the price that you paid, nor will I ever be sufficiently grateful. But as I sit here tonight, and as I reflect on the gift of your Son, I say, along with all of those who have called on the name of the Lord, thank you. It's enough. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and I don't need anything else. Nothing else matters as long as I am in Christ, and it is enough. But since it's just you and me here by the tree, Lord, I'd like to articulate just one little haunting thought that's nagging at the back of my mind on this eve of Christmas Eve. It is enough. I know that it's enough. Christ died for my sins, and I am eternally reconciled to you. That's enough. At least, that should be enough. But Lord, I cannot help but wonder if it would be enough. I mean, it's certainly enough for me when I'm sitting here by the fire, with presents under the tree, with a wife who loves me, with three healthy kids upstairs and a fourth on the way. It's enough when I have a stomach full of food and more on the shelves. It's enough when I have money in the bank, a warm home to live in, and a soft bed to lie in. But Lord, I cannot help but wonder if Jesus would still be enough for me if you removed some of those things. Do I love you more than I love my comfortable life? Would I leave these comfortable things in order to follow you if you called? Jesus, you said, take up your cross and follow me. Would I? Would I really follow you? I've been told that 1 million people live in the garbage dumps of Cairo. 1 million people live in the garbage dumps of Cairo. Would I follow you if you led me there? Or would I start looking for the loophole to get me out of such a radical commitment? Would I appeal to you? Would I insist on my responsibilities as a husband, a father, a pastor? Or would I pack up my family and would I go? Lord, I know how I would like to answer that question. But as I, on this eve of Christmas Eve, reflect on the gift of your son, my real answer to you is this. I don't know. I don't know if Jesus would be enough for me if you called me to go live in the dumps of Cairo. Lord, do I love you more than I love my health? How would I respond to a terminal disease? Would I get angry? Would I get bitter? Would I curse you for not allowing me the blessing of watching my children grow up? Lord, would I be afraid to look death in the eyes when it came for me? Or would I be joyful? And would I be confident? Would I be full of faith and full of courage? And would I be resting in your promises that I have preached about so many times? Lord, I know how I would like to answer that question. But on this eve of Christmas Eve, the real answer that I give to you is I don't know. I don't know if Jesus would be enough for me if I was lying on my deathbed at age 36. Do I love you more than I love my family, Lord? Lord, if there's anything in the world I'm tempted to love more than you, it's them. What would I do if you took one of them home? Or what if they were all removed from this earth? Lord, I can barely bring myself to write that. How would I respond if it happened? Would Jesus Christ be enough for me then? Could I face this world without my family? Could I bear that pain? Would my anchor hold? Or would I become untethered? And would my mind unravel? And would my faith crumble? Lord, I know how I would like to answer that question. But on this eve of Christmas Eve, the real answer is, I don't know. I don't know, Jesus, if you would be enough for me if you took away my family. So, Lord, where does that leave us? I was thanking you for the gift of your son, and I was saying to you that he's enough. But now, I don't know if he is. So what am I supposed to do, Lord? I hear your words ringing in my ears. You said whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Lord God, what I'm wondering is this. Am I a hypocrite? Or do I really believe those things? And Lord, how in the world will I ever know? Lord, I want you to know that I'm not doubting you, I'm doubting me. I know without a doubt that Jesus really is enough, but I cannot help but wonder as I reflect on the gift of your son, am I able to follow him? Am I able to love him enough? Do I have the faith and the courage to actually be a disciple? But Lord, it's right here in this valley that I find myself in. It's in the very asking of this question that your light shines into my dark doubts. And your peace descends upon me. Of course, your Christmas gift was perfect. It's the receiver who's flawed. And therefore, the gift of Christ is not enough for me, Lord. But the gift of Christ is not the only gift that you've given me, Lord. And Lord, on this Christmas, on this eve of Christmas Eve, I realized that I actually need four gifts, not just one. I do need the gift of a Savior, or I'll die in my sins. But I also need the gift of faith to believe in him. And I need the gift of courage to follow him. And I need the gift of strength to endure. Otherwise, I'll wander away from you at the first sign of trial or hardship, and I will never finish this race that I'm running. But Lord, these are the very gifts that you've promised to give me in your word. You're the one who brought me from darkness to light. You're the one who opened my eyes and gave me faith to believe. You're the one who promised, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You will never perish, and no one will snatch you out of my hand. I didn't create my own faith. So why would I think that it's up to me to sustain my own faith? Lord, I think I'm finally starting to see just how dependent on you I am. And as I feel my dependence on you, I can begin to feel your arms under me, sustaining me. And now, Lord, I find that my fears and my doubts, they're gone. Suddenly, I realize that my earlier questions that were haunting me, you've answered them. Your sustaining grace is like the manna that sustained the Israelites. They had exactly what they needed to sustain them each day. No more and no less, just enough for each day. And I see now, Lord, that you always provide exactly as much grace as I need for that day, to follow the path of faithfulness that day. And Lord, I realize now that I don't need a grace account with grace stored up for tomorrow. I have all the grace that I need today. And when I face the trials and the challenges and the joys and the hardships of tomorrow, I know that your grace will sustain me with faith to believe, the courage to follow, and the strength to endure. And so, Lord, this Christmas I thank you for your fourfold Christmas gift to me. Thank you for the gift of your Son to atone for my sins. Thank you for the gift of faith to believe in him. Thank you for the gift of courage to follow him. And thank you for the gift of strength to endure to the end of my days on earth. In these things, Lord, in these gifts, I find my rest and my peace. It is enough. Amen. I invite you to pray with me. Lord God, you're such a generous giver. Why would I be so foolish to think that all you did was give your Son and that's it? I mean, that's amazing. That's overwhelming. I'll never understand the depth of love and generosity that caused you to give your Son. But why would I think that you'd stop giving after you gave your Son? You didn't. You continue to pour out gifts. I thank you for the gift of your Son on this Christmas morning. We thank you. We will always thank you. In heaven, for eternal days, we will continue to thank you for the gift of your Son sent to atone for our sins. But we also thank you this morning for the Christmas gift of faith, that you have opened up the eyes of our hearts to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, sent into the world to live a perfect life of love and compassion, to model selfless and sacrificial love and humility and obedience to us, to be the sacrificial Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Thank you that not only that has happened, but that you've given us faith to believe it. And Father, thank you for giving us the courage to follow. It's scary sometimes. It's hard sometimes. Jesus, you know. You were here. You walked the earth. You experienced humanity. You had an awful night where you prayed and cried out to your Father and asked for another way, but ultimately submitted yourself in obedience to him. You know what that feels like far more than we do. You know. It's hard sometimes. It's hard sometimes. And so I thank you, Lord, for giving us the courage to follow, for giving us the courage to deny ourselves, to take up our cross daily, and to follow you, to have the courage to believe that it's those who lose their lives They're the ones who find it. That it's no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. And the life we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself up for us. Thank you for giving us the courage to believe that. And Lord, thank you for giving us the strength to endure to the end. Sometimes the Bible gives us the metaphor of life as a race. And it can be hard to press on and to keep running and to keep lifting up our feet and putting one in front of the other. But you have promised us, Lord, that you're holding us in your hand. And that God the Father is holding you in his hand. And that no one will snatch us away. That you will bring to completion the good work that you have begun in us. And so we thank you, Lord, for the strength to endure. Thank you that we don't have to worry or wonder if we're going to make it to the finish line. Because it's not in our own strength that we're running, but it's in the strength that you give us. And so we know it will last. I thank you for all of these gifts on this Christmas morning. You're a generous Father. You've poured out gifts abundantly. And we pause this morning to thank you for those things. Amen.